Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Once We Know Our Redeemer Lives.
Isaiah 59, verse 16 through 21, you have the word. And if you have the word, say it for me loudly one more time. I have the word. All right, we're going to read verse 16 to 21. I'll probably drop out, but then you read real loud. So when I go back and listen to the recording, I'll be able to know, man, that was Anthony talking right there. All right, so talk real loud. All right, let's read. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm, he brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Continue.
For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will full repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants. Nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, for this time and forevermore.
Yeah. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. For correlating scripture, amen. Flip over to Job real quickly, and only one verse, Job 19 and 25. And this is where I'll lift, amen, my thought from today. In Job 19 and 25, it says, For I know my Redeemer liveth. For I know my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Father, we thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. Thank you for Isaiah. Thank you for the wisdom of Job. Thank you for ears to hear, Father. Thank you for a spirit to receive. Thank you for a soul to be transformed, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the community of believers. I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for, oh God, the consistency, oh God, for your Genesis to Revelation, Lord. We ask you now to speak to us, God. We ask you to speak through us, God. We ask you to give us articulation of speech, Lord. Let us say what it is that pleases you, God. Let it say what builds us up and stirs our most holy faith, God. Let us say what clears the atmosphere and push back the darkness, Lord. Let us declare truth, as Paul said, in speaking boldly as we ought, God. We ask you now, Lord, that when your word comes, it heals, it delivers, it sets us free. We ask you now, Lord, that, oh God, your word that we've gathered together, your word would now assemble us, Lord, and we'll be what you called us and who you called us to be, the church. We thank you now, Father, that now somebody will be saved, Lord. We thank you somebody will be healed, somebody will be delivered, and it will be through your word, God. Thank you, Father, for giving us this moment, Lord. Now speak, and as you speak, we'll glorify your name forever and ever and ever and ever. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Job picked it up and says, For I know that my Redeemer liveth. For a few moments today, I want to talk from the subject matter, once we know that our Redeemer liveth. Once we know that our Redeemer liveth. Once we know that our Redeemer lives. In order to live out this present moment, we often need to look back to the divine insight of the prophets like Isaiah. We often need to look back to the wisdom of the sage Job. And in these two books of a prophet Isaiah and a sage like Job, we find the wherewithal how to live spiritually, how to live practically, and how to live virtuous and holy with effective life. We cannot live out this present moment without prophetic voices. We cannot live out this moment with the wisdom of Psalms and Job and Ecclesiastes. But this modern stuff ain't working. This modern stuff don't last. This modern stuff, oftentimes, all it's teaching us is how to manage positions and places of supervising only here on earth. But it does nothing for training to reign with Christ. Stay with me. We have to look back and we have to say, what did Isaiah say and what did Jeremiah say? We have to look back and we have to see, what did, amen, Job really mean by this? And what did the writer of Proverbs mean by train up a child in the way that they should go? Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, when was the last time you looked back? Don't let it go too many weeks and too many days and you have not looked into the prophetic writings. I didn't get that much there. Don't keep ESPN higher than your most holy word. I know what it is to be in school. I'm with you. But I can't keep my schoolwork higher than my schoolmaster. In fact, the psalmist says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way but by taking heed to the word of God? So we need to look back. 2 Peter chapter number 1, it tells us what is the benefit of looking back. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who have called us unto glory and virtue, whereby we are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world. Second Peter is informing us there is a benefit in looking back. Somebody say with me, there's a benefit in looking back. In looking back at Isaiah, and I'm not talking about looking back, amen, turning back, backsliding. I'm talking about looking back and see what Isaiah said. I'm talking about looking back and see what Job said, because 2 Peter informs us, the first thing it does, it gives us the knowledge of God. Our whole Bible encounter is the self-revelation of God. God is revealing himself. But it does not just stop at giving us the knowledge of God. It teaches us how to live virtuously. It teaches us how to live with principles. I was reading an article this week about how do we connect, amen, morality with Christianity. And it's morality outside of Christianity. In my dissertation, and I was defending my thesis, one of the things that I talked about is that we've wandered into an abyss. Postmodernism has taken us to a place that now wrong is right and right is wrong, and we don't know what to base our morality on, and all we really need to do is look back to the book, because he done told us, if you want to be moral, thou shalt not kill. If you want to be moral, thou shalt not commit adultery.
He didn't base adultery on whether or not your mate is treating you right. He was basing it on your conduct from your self-reflections. With redemption in our DNA and us being on the pathway of redemption, Yahweh sends his word for the purpose of infusing us with knowledge and understanding. He wants to infuse us with knowledge and understanding. He wants to give. He's not trying to cause us to miss life. He's trying to give life to us. One of the misconceptions of the young folks is that if I come over here and be saved, I'm going to miss life. And I'm going to miss out on something. And because we have not taught them well, Jesus ain't trying to cause you to miss life. He's trying to cause you to live life with all that baggage that comes by not living by my principles. He's trying to infuse us with knowledge and understanding. God is trying to get, this is what 2 Peter said. He's trying to give unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Here it is. He's trying to grace us with the divinity to overcome and conquer all the enemies of our soul. He's trying to grace us with the divinity to overcome all the enemies of our soul. He's trying to get us the ability to get over what mama never got over. He's trying to grace us with the ability to get out of daddy's strongholds. What's killing the rest of them, he's trying to grace us with the ability that we don't die, but we live and we declare the works of the Lord. And somebody got to ask us, how you get over that? How you overcome that? But because we don't look to the prophets and because we don't look to the sage wisdom like Job, we keep sort of kind of missing it. But redemption is in our DNA, and a giant in us need to be awakened. He's trying to put us on a pathway that leads to redemption, and he's trying to give us knowledge and understanding. I cannot say this loud enough, and if you have a child under 40, they need some knowledge and understanding, and it ought to be coming out of you. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You better not trust to the White House to release knowledge and understanding. You better not trust your local mayor to make sure. You can't even, and I know I got educators in here, but my trust is not in my children's teachers. My great trust is in the knowledge that God has put in me, and now daily I'm trying to release to them. But it's not just enough to have knowledge and understanding. I want to also have the characteristics of virtue that I can pass it out. This is what virtue is. What I really want to pass down is the divine, oh God, and I can hang out and preach right here. What I really want to give to my kids is the divine ability to overcome the strongholds, amen, in the places that I was never able to overcome. I want to pass it down that they don't never have them kind of problems. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I want to pass it down that they step right over that and they never get bogged down in it. I want to tell your neighbor, we can do it as well. We can do it. We can do it too. We can do it. But you got to read Isaiah. You got to pick up your book and read Job. Man, Ecclesia, what? You got to read Ecclesiastes. All it means is the preacher. Why don't we now discipline ourselves that we say 2.4 hours a day, I'm going to give it to something spiritual. I done told you guys, all them other resources you can get back. But that resource called time, you can't get it back. Once you, Once you go 2 or 3 days, oh God, I feel like preaching, Justin, Pastor, you better come get me. Y'all better hear me. Once you go 2 or 3 days, once you go, oh God, I'm gonna preach it. Once you go 2 or 3 days and you ain't read your Bible, the enemy has come a little bit closer. Once you go 4-5, once you don't go to weak and you ain't prayed, a stronghold is rising up again. Come on, tell your neighbor, but your word will get it off of you. Your word, the word, and God's reading God's word, it'll push back the enemy. You don't believe me? Read Luke chapter number 4. Read when Jesus is battling, Satan is trying to battle with Jesus. Jesus just says 3 words, it is written. Ah, come here. What have you read this week that you can quote to push back the darkness? Y'all better hear me. The darkness nears us all, but it don't stay near us all. God, pastor's preaching this morning. Oh God, y'all didn't hear what I said. None of us are exempt that we get a path that darkness don't come close to us. In fact, the Apostle Paul and Peter and the writers of the New Testament, they tell us, such was unto us. We went through the, God, y'all looking at me in that tone of voice. We went through the same thing you were going through, but the only reason we came out, because we said, it is written. You better get a it is written to be able to speak to your finances. You better get a it is written to speak to infirmity. I feel like preaching y'all. You better get a it is written to talk to your children. When the devil trying to stand up in them and they look at eyeball and back. Y'all better please tell me some demons you can't slap out. Y'all ain't saying that. Some stuff you can't spank out. You got a good preacher. You got to keep speaking the word to it. Oh, you gonna be a champion. Christ is gonna live in you. And you gotta speak that word and speak that word until the devil know you can't have that one. If you have no it is written and all you got is GD and MF and I'm mad and that ain't gonna help. You gotta keep speaking that word over them children. God, somebody say amen right there. You gotta keep speaking that word at your job when folks acting crazy. But if you have not read it, you have not studied, meditated, then Joshua 1:8 does not apply to you. When you meditated on day and night, then you should have good success. And then you shall prosper. Come on, somebody say, this week I'm going to look at Isaiah again. He gives us knowledge. He gives us understanding. I got to move through this. He gives us, Peter said, in looking at Isaiah and the sage of Job, he gives us precious promises that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. I don't know if y'all caught that. He said, by these great and precious promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Trying to give us the divine ability to overcome everything that is against us by his divine power. There comes a point on this pilgrimage that we got to know that we know that we know that we know that our Redeemer lives. Say that again, because this is really the heartbeat of what I'm trying to say today. There comes a point on this pilgrimage that we have to know that we know that we know that we know that we know our Redeemer lives. When we begin to know that, it changes our language. We speak words of life. When we really, 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 really know our Redeemer lives, it moves us into a dimension. I don't just want you to counsel me when I'm in trouble, God. Counsel me when everything is going well. Going somewhere. When we really, really, really know our Redeemer lives, it comes a place that, Lord, I trust you. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But for me, I remember the name of the Lord, and it is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you know your Redeemer lives? Do you really, really, really know your Redeemer lives? Because it changes. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. Nothing looks the same when you get it in your spirit and you get it inside your knower that my Redeemer lives. And that's what I want to talk about the last few minutes that I had this morning. I want to talk about when we know that our Redeemer lives. The first thing is found in Isaiah 59, verse 16 verse 16. Let me read and see where I stop. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, with his arm, he brought salvation unto them, and his righteousness, he sustained him. Number one, once we know that our Redeemer lives, y'all come on, stay with me. I'm about done. Number one, when we know that our Redeemer lives, we carry no worries. Because the results are on God. I can tell people that don't know their Redeemer lives, they worry about everything. Look like the paint on the side of my car is coming off. What am I gonna do? Oh Lord, it looked like my house. Oh Lord, look like they're gonna. I'm talking about, how does it look like they're gonna fire people from your job? How does that look? Oh Lord, what are we gonna do in Baltimore? Everybody, man, y'all, when the murder rate got high in Baltimore, my preacher friends from around the country was calling me. Pastor Lawrence, are you all right? Pastor Lawrence, are y'all safe? Pastor Lawrence, and I asked one of them, where do you think I live? They said, we heard on the news that everybody killing everybody in Baltimore. I said, well, how are we alive? And I'm not indicting my friends. That was their care for me. They didn't know no better, because that's what the news project. The news is projecting what's going on in a little square block, but there ain't nothing about no Cold Spring. I don't know if we ever have a murder on the block that I live on. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all ain't saying nothing. They don't know nothing about where I go to church. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. Oftentimes, what the enemy does, he magnifies the real, real, real big, and all of a sudden, we worried about everything. And we forgot that our Redeemer lives. A few years ago, the colloquial saying was, no worries. Oh, people still say that line? No worries. Well, a believer should have picked that up. Come on, just go ahead and practice. Tell somebody, no worries. What about, I got some bills next week? Come on, Chandler, no worries. Well, I feel this little thing on my chest, and the doctor said it could have been. Come on, Chandler, no worries. When your Redeemer liveth, you don't have to carry your worry. In fact, Jesus said it like this, cast all your cares on me. Oh, God, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. We have one built that has been built to carry our problems and our perplexity. And hear me, he can turn it into a miraculous moment. But oftentimes, we carrying worry. What am I, Karina? What kind of students? What kind of students? My children went to their school the other day, and they said, Daddy, we want to go check the school list to see who in our class. And I saw Malachi and I saw Isaiah. They picking through the list like, don't like that one. That's the devil right there. They going through the list. And they picking apart people, and they say, oh, and then they get in the car like, I got this person in my class. And I'm like, what's wrong with y'all? You should, oh God, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. You don't go to hear the preacher. You should have looked at the list and saw your name with your God and said, if God be for us. We looking at the list and accounting the victory to them. I can't tell y'all all of a video that I looked at, but part of the video said, what's wrong with y'all? Come on, ask your neighbor, what's wrong with y'all? Neighbor, what's wrong with y'all? We looking at the list and we comparing their God and we're comparing their influence and we forgot about who's inside of us. No worries. This is the part I want you to hear, because the results are on God. I'm going to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, no worries. Zephaniah chapter number 3, he says he's going to bring you back from captivity. He says he's going to rejoice over you with singing. He said he's going to be mighty to save, mighty to heal, and mighty to deliver. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you don't know this, but I announce it to you. You in a different kind of season. Sometimes Sometimes the problem is the comparison is coming from what happened last season. But that season is over. Come on, tell somebody that season is over. That season is over. That season is over. Number one, and I promise you, I'm going to get you out for Labor Day, so you go do whatever you want to do. Number one, we carry no worries. Come on, tell your neighbor, let them all go right today. Let them all go today. Stop worrying about that stuff. Why worry about what you cannot control? That makes sense to y'all? Malachi is with his with my brother-in-law this weekend, and Kim looked at me yesterday like, "You gonna call him?" And I ain't calling him. He wanted to go away. Let him get the feel of going away. And then I went to call him. The Lord said, "He okay? Give him a little room. Give him a little room." Now I'm sure she talked to him. But I had to give him a little room. And I haven't worried one second. Absolutely, who I trusted him to, I can trust. That's number one. But then if they not trustworthy, there's a bigger God that's watching over it all. Oh, God, I hear you, Holy Ghost, but I want to move. We carrying too much stuff that we have no control over. And worration and stress, they're both dangerous to your health, especially your mental health. Come on, somebody say with me real loud, I'm entering into a season. No worries. Come on, tell them, the results are on God. The results are on God.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.